gives us a little bit of an understanding of following the footsteps. And I'd like to hear about exalted personalities in order to follow their particular footsteps. I've taken a few notes to this, and in a moment. His movement became known all over the world as the Hare Krishna movement. During Prabhupada's initiation in the sacred order of sannyas, there was a particular incident which is remarkable. When the ceremonies stopped and the priest was preparing for the next ceremonies, his godbrother Akinchan Krishna was singing with his mridanga the Hare Krishna mantra, and he was becoming very ecstatic, like he always used to become. And then the priest came to a section of the ritual where he wanted to continue with the ceremony and chant Vedic mantra. So he gestured to this blissfully chanting devotee, "You may stop now, the ceremonies have to go on." Prabhupada was sitting on the fire to receive his sacred initiation in the sannyas order. When he saw that the priest was stopping the kirtan, his hand went like this, hinting to Akinchan Krishna Das Babaji that he should not stop the kirtan, but in fact he should sing more and louder. And the priest at first was a little bit flabbergasted, but then he could see that Srila Prabhupada had much more faith in the chanting of Krishna's holy name than in all these many rituals and ceremonies. Srila Prabhupada eventually, after taking sannyas, made the voyage to the West. And it is interesting how he started his movement. He simply sat in a park underneath a tree with a little bongo and sang Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Then the park man who was in charge of the park came and said, "No one should sit on the lawn." Prabhupada did not become discouraged, but he simply sat down on the tarmac mark and continued his chanting. Later, this Akinchan Krishna Das, who was there at the initiation ceremony, met with another.
Thank you.
Didi remnant.
Thank you. Thank you so much. How kind of you. He said that another godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, who had been sent to England to start the Vaishnava movement, the movement of worshipping Krishna in the West. And Akinchan Krishna Das sent with him, and he said, "You went to the West in Swami Maharaj. This is how the Gaur brothers would call our Srila Prabhupada. And Swami Maharaj went to the West. You presented the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and Swami Maharaj presented the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You introduced the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and Swami Maharaj introduced the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. But Swami Maharaj was tremendously successful, and you hardly achieved anything. What do you think is the reason? This God brother was also asking himself, what is the reason that one of his God brothers, our Srila Prabhupada, spread the chanting of the holy names all over the world? And when he came back from England, he only brought a Hollywood swing from England as a gift to his spiritual master. But he had not really helped to give Gaudiya Vaishnava thing a footing in the West. And then Keshav Krishna does give the reason. I always think this is such a nice contribution or glorification of Prabhupada. He said, because Swami Maharaj had full faith in the holy name of Krishna, and you do not have this faith. That's why he was so successful. This faith, the chanting of the holy names as the prime means to attain the rare jewel of spiritual practice, that is ecstatic, abiding love in the Lord. This full faith also comes out in another narration which another God brother gave. Srila Prabhupada had one God brother whose spiritual name was Adi Keshava Das. His name was, other name was Dr. U.B.L. Kapoor, and he was a professor of philosophy in the university with A, Aligarh or somewhere in India. And once this professor of philosophy came to Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master, who at that time was a pharmacist. He was a grihastha and he had his own pharmacy. And pharmaceutical people would mix the medicines together which the doctor prescribed for the different patients. So this Dr. O.B.L. Kapoor asked Srila Prabhupada, you are expert in mixing different medical formulas together, but I'm asking you, do you also know the recipe for the formula which brings about love of Godhead? And then Srila Prabhupada thought for a while, and then he said, yes, I know the formula, but it is not in my possession. Okay, can you please tell me what it is? Prabhupada said, yes, if you want to attain love of Godhead, you have to do it according to the formula of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vina rapi suni chena taro vivasa vishnana amanina maradena kirtaniya sadhanari. This means one who thinks himself lower than the straw in the street, who's more tolerant even than a tree, who's devoid of all sense of false prestige, but who offers respects to all others according to their respective positions, can continuously chant the holy name of the Lord. So, by chanting, in other words, according to this formula, humility, tolerance, and respect, without asking for to be respected. That is the formula to obtain the love of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada had a lot of faith in the holy name, and I learned about this faith when I was extremely young in spiritual life. We had a temple in Hamburg, and somehow we had to feed a lot of hungry mouths in the temple, those who lived in the temple and those who came to the temple. And we didn't have any financial income. So all of us took up some work. Some devotees worked in storehouses. I remember one devotee worked in an ice cream production. He brought sometimes some ice cream with him. Also I had to work. I became a gardener. Believe it or not, I'm an expert gardener. We would all bring our income to the temple to maintain the operations of the temple, until one day there was a letter in the post box. It was written by Srila Prabhupada. And he said, "I do not want my brahmanas to become dishwashers. You have to stop this work, and you have to go on sankirtan, and then all of your problems will be solved, spiritually and materially." We all agree. This is what Guru Maharaj has said. This is what we shall do. So we took to the streets. We did not know how to play very nicely the dada drum and the cartels, but we went each day, we sang for a few hours on the streets of Hamburg. And sometimes we put a little basket out before us, and when we came back, we took the basket with us and counted the income and bought the vegetables. So this went on for quite some time, and then we decided, no, we should not just ask for donations to some cysts, but we should also print something on the chanting of the Hare Krishna. I don't know, we have here in our possession the book The Science of Self-Realization. Do we have?
Maybe also an iPhone.
I'm sorry.
Maybe also some device.
It might take some time, then I can remember. Prabhupada has spoken or written a little article called On Chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. There he says that when you chant, this is superior to the mental and intellectual level. This is a sound vibration which comes right down from the spiritual world and purifies the heart. And sometimes when chanting, there are 8 certain symptoms of ecstasy, sweating, paling, and so on. So we made a pamphlet of this and distributed it to the German public, and it said one should chant in the mood of a little child who is crying for the mother. Mother Hara will protect the devotees in all circumstances. It went like this, and we distributed this, and from the donations of this pamphlet we were able to print our first German book, the Sri Upanishad, and distributed it. Then our movement started to spread on the strength of Buddhist book distribution, and part of the income was used for temple maintenance. So, but I always consider it as very, very significant that when we work in ice cream productions and as dishwashers, Prabhupada said, no, you should have chant, faith in the chanting of the holy name, and that will take care of everything. This is what we did, and it really worked. Then, when Prabhupada was, then he asked us to publish one other book. It's called Easy Journey to Other Planets. And he said what he wanted to have on the cover. He wanted to have on the cover, should have in the corner was Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world of Radha and Krishna, and the other corner was the material universes with planets and stars, and he wanted to have a devotee dressed with dhoti, sika, and japamala, who was flying from the material world into the spiritual world, just chanting his japa. You may have seen this. It's a very amagantistic cover, I must say. A shaped up devotee, he looks like a little angel, and on the strings of his japa, he pierces through the layers of the material universe and goes back home, back to Godhead. So the cover was meant to depict the theme of the book, that is, by bhakti yoga, by chanting, one can travel beyond the material universe to the spiritual sky. So later, when the devotee showed Prabhupada this cover, I would love to show it to you, he was pleased and he said, yes, by the beads. Chanting the holy name has such a potency. You can see, Prabhupada was really a chanter. Once, when he came from a morning walk in Juhu, there were some children who were making fun of him and the devotees. They were dancing up and down, you know, this little Indian street urchins. They said, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. You know, they're dancing like these little boys and girls in India often do. Prabhupada smiled broadly and being from ear to ear and said, our movement is now a success. We have made these street children chant the names of God. Once, and you can see this amount of faith in these small little incidences, when he is not maybe sitting on the Vyasasam and delivering a lecture which goes into the TV and so on, but in these private little moments when you find him also as a private practitioner. There was a disciple coming into Prabhupada's writing room. He used to have a little desk like this, and he found Prabhupada sitting like this and looking at the desk. And then the disciple came, Prabhupada called him and said, do you see? And Prabhupada and the disciple saw there was a little ant crawling over the table. Then Prabhupada looked at his disciple and said, what is your duty towards this end? Now the disciple never thought he had a duty towards an end. He was thinking very deeply. The Prabhupada, he supplied the answer to his own question. He said, your duty towards this end is to help it chant Hare Krishna. And he said, Hare Krishna to the end. Remember, he is a leader of a spiritual movement which has sent us all over the world, which is distributing tons of spiritual literature, which has the biggest publishing house of spiritual literature, and he's there and he thinks about what is his beauty towards the end. It shows a little bit the unassuming and deeply spiritual nature of him as a person. And I wanted to give you such a little facet of his personality to show really how much faith he had in the chanting of the holy name. Once, one brother, a god brother of mine, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, was with Srila Prabhupada alone in a room. Since quite some time there was a question which he had. He had noted that Prabhupada had encouraged his disciples to chant the holy names as their main spiritual practice. So he sought some clarification on exactly how to do it, what technique to apply, or what methodology to use. And he said, Prabhupada, can you please talk, how should I chant? And Prabhupada answered in a very beautiful way. He said, you should chant to Krishna and address him. Just like you are now speaking to me and you are actually addressing me. You are in contact with me. In this way, when you chant, you should address Krishna. You should make contact. You should talk to Krishna. And I believe in the different sessions which we had today and the days before in our Kirtan course, this was one of the essential teachings or instructions to all of us. We should make a contact. Because this is such an important point, it sometimes escapes our attention. I want to shed light on this from the Sufi tradition. There's one very nice Sufi poet who wrote a poem about this point. He said, would you come if someone called you differently, as if he was using the wrong name? My Lord, I wept because for so many years I called for you, but you did not come. One night, I was told a secret. I was told he does not come if you don't mean it. I thought about this and came up with a new way, a way I never mentioned to others. I chanted as if using a pet name for my beloved. All I can say now is, it really works. You know, when someone calls a person he likes, like his little son, oh, my little darling boy, come to your uncle or your father. He uses an affectionate tone in it, and this is the idea here. Prabhupada instructed us, chant, but not hackneyed. Hackneyed sounds as if it's hackneyed. No, chant, pretty cool, welcome, with love, with some affection. In the 70s, this shows another, the transcendental perspective of Srila Prabhupada. A slanderous movie came out about the Hare Krishna people, and we all thought this is the end of our movement. It was a blockbuster movie, means everyone knew it, and it had a very nice beginning. It started with a deep, resonant note and voice. It said, for centuries, India's spiritual culture remained within the shores of India. And then one man, a picture of Prabhupada came in, took India's spiritual culture across the ocean. All very nice. Very short pictures of the London Ratha Yatra ceremonies where the devotees were chanting Hare Krishna, and also still very nice. But the next scene showed hippies smoking hashish and ganja and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. And the girls and boys were embracing romantically. And the theme of the movie was that Srila Prabhupada was not really spreading the spiritual culture, but it was degrading the sacred Indian culture by giving it to the hippies who were just misusing it. There was a song, India movies, there was a song, Dhammaro Dham Hare Krishna Hare Ram. It means take another puff from your hashish pipe and then sing Hare Krishna Hare Ram. Dhammaro Dham Hare Krishna Hare Ram. So everyone in India started to know this movement and movie, and wherever we came, they sang Dhammaro Dham Hare Krishna Hare Ram. And we said, oh no, we never show our face again in the streets of India or the world. Because we have been told, we've known this, know that, certainly no, not even coffee, not even black tea, and now this, you know. And so we came to Srila Prabhupada and very distressed and said, Prabhupada, what is, now we are finished. But Prabhupada said, no, it's good. In the long run, the film will actually help us, because Dhammaro Dham or Dhammaro Dham means take another puff from the hashish pipe. This material, and it's temporary, people will forget it, but they will just remember Hare Krishna, Hare Ram. This movie is helping me to spread the movement of chanting, because there is a chanting and there is some material, some vibration, but that will go. Eventually his predictions turned true, that is because Prabhupada instructed us in something which I really want to place today in your heart. He said something which I really feel we should all take to heart. See, it was in, I always forget dates, but it was around 1971 or 72. Prabhupada wanted that the devotees would go to Europe. At that time, Europe's very well-known musical group, the Beatles, had made some contact with the devotees in America, and George Harrison had actually offered to help in some ways spreading Krishna consciousness in England. And so the devotees were ready to go to England, and Prabhupada called them to Montreal, because at that time in Montreal, to give them some instructions how to spread Krishna consciousness in England and Europe. Now, remember, his godbrother was there before, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his own spiritual master, wanted very much that the Krishna consciousness movement would take roots in Great Britain. So Prabhupada was instructing now his young pioneers, and all he did really is he showed them how to chant nicely the Hare Krishna mantra. He gave them, so to say, a kirtan course, like the one which you will also get, showed them how to use the instrument and play the drum and the madanga drum and the harmonium, etc. And then almost in the last meeting, he said to the devotees how they should spread movement for Krishna consciousness and how they would be successful. The way sometimes sadhus talk or saints talk, they talk in stories and you have to use your brain to figure out what they mean. So he also said, when I was young, I saw a movie of Charlie Chaplin. In this movie, Charlie Chaplin, who was dressed in a, don't know the English word, Schweineschwanz, you say in German, it's a little, it goes like this and it has tails like this.
Tuxedo.
Tuxedo. In a tuxedo. Charlie Chaplin was in a tuxedo and he was dancing in a ball. And then, bling, the sound, pause sound came. And this was done in the old times. I also learned how to dance like this. You would go in the ball and dance in a ball dance. And then, bling, the signal came. And then there was pause. And you could go outside and refresh yourself in the cold, cool atmosphere, and then go in for the next whatever, dancing session. So Charlie Chaplin went with his dance partner to the outside and to refresh themselves. They sat down on a bench, but some people, Prabhupada was telling, had put some glue on the bench. Charlie Chaplin was sitting down, and when he was coming up, his tuxedo stuck to the bench, and in order to free himself, he had to put some effort and started to rip open his tuxedo, and then so he went with a damaged tuxedo inside and danced without knowing that he looked a little bit strange, maybe like a bird who had fallen from the sky or so. And all the people looked, what is this? And Charlie Chaplin noticed it, so the boss, he went to the restroom and looked if everything was alright with his tuxedo and saw it had been ripped in the middle. He thought for a moment, and then he got an idea. He ripped the tuxedo all the way up to the collar. Dressed in it, went inside the next ring or the next dancing session, or I don't know how to call it, and danced very jubilantly, full swing. And everyone looked at him and thought, it's maybe because of this new fashion that he is so graceful and enthusiastic. And then everyone, when the next pause came, went into the restroom and also ripped open the tuxedo in order to also be a little bit happy and enthusiastic. This is all for Prabhupada told as a parting instructions. The devotee said outside this room, they asked, did you understand why Srila Prabhupada told us about the Charlie Chaplin movie? No, but he must have had something in his mind, otherwise he would not have told it. The devotees, guessing a little, going back and forth, and finally they got the idea. Yes, Prabhupada wanted to show that in the beginning you will be looked upon as doing something strange, or as even being strange, being strangely dressed and so on. But if you do it with full confidence, then everyone will follow you. So I like this instruction which Prabhupada gave. Yes, you may sometimes be looked upon as being strange when you sing everywhere, and when you chant in the train station and wherever you are. But as you do it with confidence, people will understand that this is good, otherwise he wouldn't be so happy and enthusiastic. Let me follow. That was Prabhupada's faith in the holy name, although it was unusual and so on. It was very, very nice. I want to talk about one last thing which Giriraj Maharaj told me once. When Prabhupada built this big temple in Juhu Beach, the Juhu temple, he never actually saw the completion of it because he left his body before Vrindavan Dham. So this, what I will tell now, is towards the end of his manifested pastime. He did not want to stay.